The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Hey. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. My name is James Robertson. I'm a researcher, publisher, and teacher regarding the matters and truths of the Almighty Creator, whose true name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing. I've been actively serving him since 1993, over 31 years. If you're not actively serving Yah, then by default, you're serving Satan. My objective is to show you how you can make a big difference on Earth and qualify for a position of high esteem in heaven for eternity. It's important to understand that as a believer, just being good is not the point. It's relationship with Yah that counts. Without this, you will be in a very unpleasant place in heaven with no way out. My aim is to show you how to get close to Him. If you're a good person without a clear relationship with Yah, then you're in a spiritual no man's land and will not enter heaven when you die. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist? Yah is calling everybody on the planet to be involved and serve him and help him to have victory over Satan. My goal is to show you how to do this. Fundamentally, we each need to learn to see things on earth from Yah's perspective, and my aim is to teach you how to do that. Please visit my website at endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries.org. Or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org. Today we're continuing with the good news regarding Yeshua, the anointed of Yah, incorrectly Jesus Christ, according to Matiyahu, incorrectly Matthew, part 7. So we're looking at the good news according to Matiyahu, part 7, the overview. The first book in the so-called New Testament in the Bible, Matiyahu, Matthew, provides an authoritative account of the life, death, and resurrection of Yahushua, the anointed of Yah, incorrectly called Jesus Christ. I've corrected the core translation errors and added commentary based on my personal experience and revelation. I'm sharing this in these broadcasts. This is part 7. I will continue to read Matiyahu and offer commentary, and finally we'll look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. So we're looking at chapters 21 to 24 today, part 7. Now in the morning, as he, that's Yeshua, returned to the city, that's Jerusalem, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found thereon nothing but leaves only, and said to it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the followers saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Yeshua answered and said to them, verily I say to you, if you have emunah, faith, and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. So the key point here is that Yeshua is giving an object lesson in emunah. Emunah is what I call faith on steroids. Faith is another one of these more or less meaningless English words that substitute poorly for the original Hebrew and the Hebrew concept. And as a result, a lot of the concept of emunah is lost through the use of the word faith. So I prefer to use emunah. And I do understand you probably say, what is this guy saying? But try and get used to it. And then whatever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. So there's a big piece here about coming to a place of intense confidence in your relationship with Yah, and that doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. Verse 22, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. And when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? And Yeshua answered and said to them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of Yehuchanan, that's John, the immerser, whence was it, from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves and saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say to us, he will say to us, why did you not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold Yehuchanan as a spokesman of Yah, a prophet. And they answered Yahushua and said, we cannot tell. And he said to them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Just notice how devious they are. Yeshua is walking around openly performing, as far as I can gauge, literally hundreds of miracles, hundreds of healings, if not thousands of healings. He's calmed the storm. He's walked on water. He's fed 5,000 men and as well as women and children with a few loaves of bread and some fish, and then he's done it again with another 4,000 men and women and children. And all of this is going on all around them. And they're so blind that they cannot see that Yah is moving. And it happens today. I shared a few weeks ago about an instance where Yah moved mightily on my wife and I in an assembly, and the next week they kicked us out. Verse 28, but what think you? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go and work in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not, but afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Yeshua saith to him, verily I say to you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of Yah before you. For Yahuchanan came to you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and harlots believed him, and you, when you had seen it, repented not afterward that you might believe him. For Yahuchanan came to you in the way of righteousness, and you believed him not. But the publicans and harlots believed him, and you, when you'd seen it, repented not afterward that you might believe him. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard, and hedged it round about, and digged a winepress in it, and built a tower, and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. Again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did to them likewise. But last of all he sent to them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. When the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and let us seize on his inheritance. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do to those husbandmen? They say to him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men, and will let out his vineyard to other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. So there's a big piece here. The husbandmen are a type of the priests and the other leaders. They claim to be looking after the vineyard of Yah's people, but they're keeping Yah's people from Yah. They're standing between him and his true followers. And this is so important to understand, folks. Yah did not create you to have a relationship with your priest or your pastor or your imam or your rabbi or whatever. He didn't create you to have a relationship with your Bible or your Quran or your Torah or whatever. He created you to have a relationship with him. He wants you to love him. The great commandment is love Yah, the eternal, self-existing, your mighty one, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. All. And yet, religion has stolen that from Yah. Yah wants you to have a relationship with him. My message to you is Yah wants you to have a relationship with him. And we'll talk more about that going forward. And returning to verse 42, Yeshua saith to them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is Yah, the eternally self-existing, is doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of Yah shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on the stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees had heard his parables, that they perceived that he spoke of them. And when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude, because they took him for a spokesman of Yah, a prophet. 2 points here. The scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests, totally blind to what's going on. And Yeshua is going out of his way to provoke them. There's a whole lot of wrong thinking about the death of Yeshua. There are people who go around killing Jews because they say that the Jews killed their Messiah. If he hadn't died, folks, his whole life would have been a total waste of time. He came here to die. And he went out of his way to make sure that they killed him by provoking them and insulting them and speaking parables against them. You whitewashed walls, overturning the tables of the money changers in the temple, people who were giving a financial kickback to the priests. Understand the enormity of what Yeshua did for you, for me. Stop playing games, people. It's time to stop playing games. Chapter 22, and Yeshua answered and spake to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like to a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I've prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come to the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. This parable speaks just as well today of believers who are too taken up with their own interests, their business, etc., that they have no time to serve Yah, to worship him, to do things for him. This is again against the high priests and other leaders in the context of their plot to kill him. Folks, there are two pieces to this in fundamental terms. One is to build a relationship with Father. I suppose there are three. The one is to live without sin. The next is to build a relationship with Father. And finally, there's to do something tangible and concrete for Father with your life. It's no good just worshiping and praying and saying, you know, I died a good person. I had a relationship with Father. He's going to say to me, what did you do? What did you do for me? How many people did you lead to belief in me? How many truths did you discover and publicize? How many people did you tell about me? Verse 8, then he saith it to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go thou therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. So the servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man who had not on a wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then saith the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him out into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. This speaks to the current age where Yah is looking throughout the earth for people who will become his friends and serve him. It speaks to people who don't prepare for the end of the age and for the end of their own lives. Folks, if you're just going to just potter through life doing what you do, and then one day you die, and you come up to heaven, assuming you believed at some stage, what gives you the right to think that something nice is going to happen to you? And then the other side of this particular parable, he was speaking this to Yehudites, Jews, the chosen race. The message is clear. They'd missed it. The message was going to the rest of the world. Today it is the same. The church has missed it. The synagogue has missed it. The mosque has missed it. The temple has missed it. Father is calling those who will serve him to come out of formal organized religion and build relationship directly and personally with him. Verse 15, then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of Yah in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tax to Caesar or not? But Yeshua perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt you me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money. And they brought him a denarius. And he saith to them, whose is this image and superscription? They said to him, Caesar's. And he said to them, render therefore to Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and to Yah the things that are Yah's. When they'd heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. They could not outreason him. He had the spirit of Yah in him. It gave him intense wisdom, intense ability to debate, to discuss, to teach. Yah spoke through him repeatedly. There are passages throughout the New Testament, the Good News, the four books of the Good News, where Yeshua is quoted as saying something, but it's actually Yah speaking through Yeshua in the first person. Please understand. Yeshua could not have done what he did had he not been 100% human, filled with the spirit of Yah, anointed with the spirit of Yah. Spirit of Yah came upon him when he was immersed, 40 days in the wilderness, fasting to come up filled with the power of the spirit of Yah. Yah in Yahushua performed the miracles, not Yahushua. 23. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moshe said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed to his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he'd married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife to his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third to the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. Yeshua answered and said to them, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of Yah. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the messengers of Yah in heaven. I have long understood this to know that to indicate that there is no sexual congress in heaven, but I've recently encountered a teaching of one who claims to have been to heaven repeatedly, who says that there is marriage and sexual congress in heaven. At the time I wrote this, I did not have clarity on this point. I still don't have clarity." But get the point. Folks, if you don't believe there's a resurrection, I feel so sorry for you. You've got nothing to look forward to. I look forward to the day when I can shrug off this mortal coil and say, folks, I'm out of here, and I can be taken up to heaven, and I can meet Yeshua in person, meet a whole lot of other people in person, and come before the throne, and hopefully, with all that I've done, receive a significant reward and a significant place in heaven. That's what I'm aiming to. There is absolutely nothing stopping you from doing the same. Verse 31. "But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken to you by Yah, saying, 'I am the mighty one of Abraham, and the mighty one of Yitzhak, and the mighty one of Jacob.' Yah is not the mighty one of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. But when the Pharisees had heard that he'd put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. And one of them, which was learned in the Torah, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Yeshua said to him, 'Thou shalt love Yah, the eternally self-existing, thy mighty one, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the Torah and the spokesmen of Yah, the prophets. All true believers who've died are alive in heaven in supernatural bodies. Refer to the final quest, which I've quoted several times in this series. It's also on the website under the ETI Bible version page. The whole purpose of this life is to have a relationship with Yah, to have him participate in your life, and to do things that he wants you to do so that when you die, you go to heaven, you receive an amazing, powerful, gracious, graceful, supernatural body and power and authority and supernatural ability, and you sit on a high throne forever. That's the whole goal of this whole thing, folks. And if you're not going for it, you're going to get such a nasty shock when you die. Verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Yeshua asked them, saying, "What think you of the anointed one of Yah, the Christ, the Messiah? Whose son is he?" They said to him, "The son of David." And he says to them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Adonai, saying, 'Yah, the eternally self-existing, said to my Adonai, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool.' If David then called him Adonai, how is he his son?" And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any questions. Folks, a couple of days, and we'll get there next week, but a couple of days later, they kill him. And I keep going on about this, but it's not that much different in the world today. A little bit more civilized. The majority of people who are in permanent full-time ministry are in serious error. The purpose you're here for is not to have a church or a mosque or a synagogue or a temple or a whatever. It's to have a relationship with Father and to lead others to a relationship with Father. Be a signpost, not a destination. Show people the way to Yah, not to you, to your assembly. Stop relying on them to finance you and go and get a job. Chapter 23. Then spake Yeshua to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moshe's seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do after their works, for they say and do not. They bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the best places at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues, the congregations, and greetings in the market to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not you called Rabbi, for one is your master, even the anointing of the Spirit of Yah, and all your brethren. So, a situation where amendments have been made during transcription and translation, Yah intends for true believers to be filled with his Spirit and not to rely on teachings of men. So don't call somebody teacher. The Spirit of Yah is the teacher. Call them John or Jill or Jack or whatever, which is their name, who is a teacher. But don't elevate them. Don't call them master. Don't elevate them. Rabbi is a Semitic term that literally means my great one. You shouldn't be doing that with a human being. It is the set-apart Spirit of Yah that teaches spirit-filled true believers in right standing with Yah. If you've never prayed, Father, fill me with your Spirit, now's the time. Just put up your hands and say, Father Yah, I ask you to pour out your Spirit on me. I ask you to fill me with your Spirit. Pray that every day. Verse 9, call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be you called masters, for one is your master, even the anointed one of Yah. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them that are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he's made, you make him twofold more of the child of hell than yourselves. Folks, look at it. Hypocrites, hypocrites, hypocrites. You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, neither suffer you them that are entering in. Are you surprised that they killed him? Yeshua went out of his way. He had an objective at Passover to die on a stake on that specific hill, in that specific location, with that specific crosshole over the Ark of the Covenant in a cave 10 feet underground. There's an article on the website, The Miracle of Yeshua's Death. I commend you to read that. Verse 16, woe to you, you blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. ye fools and blind, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing, but whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it is guilty. Ye fools and blind, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctifieth the gift? Whoso therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and all the things thereon, and whosoever shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven sweareth by the throne of Yah and by him that sitteth thereon. I'm kind of a little bit of a stuck record today. Ye fools and blind, you blind guides, ye fools and blind. Think about it. If you have held on to something that the Jews killed Jesus and they're nasty people, let go of it. Yeshua was a Yehudite, a Jew. He came for the Yehudai, the Jews. He was a Jew speaking to Jews. The Jews didn't kill him because he was a Christian. The Jews killed him because he was a spokesman of Yah and he pissed them off, excuse my language. Verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, emunah, faith. These ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you like to whited tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. And even so you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. I'm not going to go there, folks. You've heard me. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the spokesmen of Yah, the prophets, and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the spokesmen of Yah, prophets. Wherefore you be witnesses to yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the spokesman of Yah. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, you generation of vipers. How can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send to you spokesmen of Yah, prophets, and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and execute, and some of them you shall flog in your synagogues, your congregations, and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Hebel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say to you, all these things shall come upon this generation. From verse 13 to verse 33, Yeshua is going out of his way to antagonize the leaders. What he says is truth. And at the same time, it's highly provocative and it's entirely intentional so that they would kill him as appointed. So it says, crucify in the King James. Yeshua did not die on a cross. He was executed on a stake, a length of tree trunk. Hebel in Hebrew, Abel in the King James. Zechariah in Hebrew, Zechariah in the King James, meaning Yah remembers. Berechiah in Hebrew, Berechiah in the King James, meaning Yah blesses. And so just picking up those two names, Zechariah and Berechiah, I-A-H at the end of the name, actually should be Y-A-H, Yah being the Almighty Creator. The name of Yah permeated Hebrew society right way back from the early days. And it's almost completely lost in the Bible, both the New Testament and the Old Testament, in just about every translation you can find. In the ETI Bible version on the website, that error's corrected. There's over 3,000 instances of Yah in the New Testament, and I think it's about 11,000 instances of Yah in the Old Testament. I encourage you to read it. Verse 37, Yahushua speaking, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the spokesman of Yah, the prophets, and stonest them which are sent to thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left to you desolate. For I say to you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of Yah, the eternally self-existing. Folks, this is an ongoing thing, but the thing to realize is Yeshua foretold that 70 years later, Jerusalem, Yerushalayim, would be totally devastated and the Yehudites would be totally vanquished by the Romans. The temple would be torn down, not one stone upon another. The Romans set fire to the temple, the gold melted, ran into the cracks between the blocks of stone, and when it cooled down, the soldiers pulled everything to pieces to get the gold out of the cracks. Folks, those foretellings, those prophecies were back then. There are different things today. Chapter 24, and Yahushua went out and departed from the temple, and his followers came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple, and Yahushua said to them, See you not all these things? Verily I say to you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the followers came to him privately, saying, Tell us when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Yahushua answered and said to them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I, Yahushua, am the anointed one of Yah, and shall deceive many. For you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. As I said a moment ago, this foretelling was fulfilled in 70 years from Yeshua's death. The temple in Jerusalem torn down by the Romans, so the Yehudai should have been left in no doubt that Yeshua had changed the spiritual dispensation. Yet even today, most of the Yehudai reject Yahushua, admittedly because of the wrong teaching of the Christians who say that Jesus is God and that there is a Trinity. So there's a big piece here. The Yehudai, one of the reasons they killed him is because they said he was claiming to be Yah because he said he was the son of Yah. And they twisted and what have you. And then Christianity takes those lies and makes them central to their teaching. Yeshua was and is 100% human, filled with the Spirit of Yah. His name is Yah, means Yah is salvation. Yahushua, Yahu, referring to Yah, Shua, referring to salvation. Yeshua, Jesus, is not salvation. He's not the Savior. Yah is the Savior. Yah is the one who saves you. Yah is the one who gives you salvation. Yeshua is the signpost to Yah, folks. He is not the destination. Verse 7. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false spokesmen of Yah shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this good news of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations, and then shall the end come. This passage is mistakenly used to signify that we're at the end of the age. Yet these things, the wars, etc., have been rife throughout the period from the death of Yeshua to the present, and they will continue. Tragically, a lot of Christian missionary workers fall into this type of treatment wrongly because of their wrong teaching about the deity of Yeshua and the idolatry of the Bible and the use of wrong names. Folks, Yeshua showed that if you are completely free of sin, nothing can touch you. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. The messengers of Yah are encamped around you to protect you. Every tongue that rises against you in unrighteous judgment will be refuted. As an aside, there are a huge number of false spokesmen or prophets today. Endure to the end is a critical principle in serving Yah in any age, no matter what comes against one, and one's got nearly 1,000 years to go before the end of this age. And that's a whole conversation in its own right. I've spoken about it before. It's on the website. Yeshua is scheduled to return about May 3003, 981 years or whatever it is from now. Folks, I'm out of time. I'll continue with this next week. I'd like to wrap up by asking, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to Him constantly throughout the day and allow Him to lead you in every possible way? Do you worship Him at every opportunity? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard Him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you'll be bitterly disappointed when you die. If you've now come to belief, please pray along the following lines. Father Yah, I come to you in the name of Yahushua. I now believe that you exist. I confess my sin of unbelief and repent of my unbelief, and I ask you to forgive my sin. I now commit my life to you, and I ask you to take me by the hand and lead me into deep relationship with you. I ask you to fill me with your Spirit and to change me and help me to become the person you want me to become. I ask you to help me to find people who can help me and help me find books, websites, articles, and other resources that will help me. I ask you to show me what I can do to actively serve you and lead others to deep personal relationship with you. I thank you for saving me. There's a period of 8 days from sincerely coming to belief for the first time, during which there is extreme grace to help you. See the article Critical Actions on First Belief on the website for actions you should take immediately. Drop me an email at james@endtimeissueministries.org so I can help you, pray with you, counsel you, etc. Folks, there's no time like the present. Just do it. You will change the dynamics of your life completely. Yah is waiting for you. He loves you. What's stopping you? In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and I can connect with you by Skype, Zoom, Teams, email, or telephone, so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. I can't stress it enough, folks. It doesn't matter who you are, what you are. Doesn't matter, rich or poor, educated, uneducated, African, Asian, Indian, American, European, Caucasian. Doesn't matter if you're an outright Satanist, Christian, Jew, Muslim, Hindu, Baha'i, Buddhist, whatever. Doesn't matter what Christian denomination you belong to. It doesn't matter whether you're Catholic or Protestant or any of those things. Yah wants you to become his friend. He will meet you wherever you are right now, and he will help you to become his friend. And if you email me, I'll help you to become his friend. And there's a huge amount of material on the website. Get onto my mailing list. There's articles every week, a couple of articles every week that'll help you in your journey. Email me, james@endtimeissueministries.org. I would love to hear from you. For those of you who are here for the first or second time, I've got some other information to share with you. For those who've been along for a while, thank you so much. Good night, and I'll hope to see you again next week. So in closing, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering, and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as a management consultant. I have over 31 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty. Following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. In learning about Father, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator. It forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. See the video, Why Seek Relationship, for an overview of what I believe, near the top of the website. Please visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. The ETI version of the Bible with correction of key translation errors is on the ETI Bible version page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far, search on Google for Relationship with Creator Radio. There are at least 4 podcast websites that have the back issues. Transcripts are on the transcripts of broadcasts page together with recordings of the broadcasts as well. Books with teachings from 1998 to May 2019 are on the Books for Printing page, formatted for A4 or A5 with covers. Just have it, take it to your local print shop and get it printed and bound. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, the article keyword cloud, the table of contents, and the article search to locate the information you're looking for. I look forward to hearing from you. Good night.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand, just because you love me, I know.
Hi, I'm James Robertson. I want to ask you what you understand about the history of Yeshua, the anointed of Yah, who is incorrectly called Jesus Christ. And do you know about the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth? Do you know that he wants you to become his friend? If you're not aware of Yeshua's life and teachings, then please listen to my broadcast on w4cy.com. Internet radio or talk4tv.com internet TV. Also visit my website at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's endtimeissueministries, one word, .org. Or email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to find out more. I look forward to hearing from you.